Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. I'm really thankful to God that there are saints scattered abroad, brothers and sisters, a lot of whom I've never met or seen, but brothers and sisters that know that we all have a common ministry in these final 42 months before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and that is war with the Antichrist demonic host. People are going to be either fully demon-possessed or fully filled with His Holy Spirit in those last days, and it's going to be a war. Antichrist was given power to wage war on the saints and to overcome them. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. And I'm glad y'all know that. That's a blessing to me to know that there are saints scattered abroad who understand that. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And I want to talk with you a little bit about strongholds. Because as you walk in deliverance, and that's what spiritual warfare really involves, deliverance, the first sign that follows those who believe is that in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Yeshua, we should cast out devils. And one of the things that you're going to run up against, because the first person that we should want to get them cast out of is ourself. And one of the things that you're going to run up against is, why does it take so long? It never took Jesus a long time. And many wonder about that. Many, when they are seeking deliverance, they know there's a demonic spirit in there that they want to get out. Many wonder why getting prayer one time does not accomplish a full and complete deliverance. And many find that deliverance and deliverance ministry is even more difficult because there's often, brethren, a long time involved. And many have the mistaken idea that we can have one good deliverance prayer session and then all the demons will be cleaned out and we may walk in victory ever after. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? And this is what the saints ask, how long? My soul is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Hallelujah. For thy mercy's sake. Ask him to save you for his mercy's sake. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. In reality, brethren, and I think y'all know this, the demons are just kind of layered in us like the layers of an onion. And the outer layers come out easier. The demons are deceivers. And the stronger ones may not manifest when the weaker demons are being cast out. The demons find rest in their position of control within the believer. That's the only way they can get any peace from their hard taskmaster, Satan, is if they can get into a position of control within the believer. Otherwise, Satan ain't gonna let them have any rest. And they will work any deception to keep believers in bondage. See, they don't worry about the non-believers. It's the believers that they've got to keep under their control. And they will work any deception to keep believers in bondage and prevent their effective warfare against the devil's kingdom. Now, deliverance ministers and those who seek deliverance must be just as determined and just as persistent as the demons. We need to understand that sometimes deliverance can take a long time. And just because the Lord always had immediate results, we should remember that He is God. Just remembering that He is God. See, He knew what was in all men, and we do not. We don't even know what's in our own heart, see. And this is why there's a big difference. See, even His disciples, that He gave this authority, and they were so effective that the Lord says He rejoiced to see Satan fall as lightning. Satan had to come down out of the third heaven like lightning because these guys were ripping his demonic kingdom so bad. But even they, even that 70 that He sent out, even His disciples in Matthew 17 and Mark 9, we see them asking Him why they could not cast out the demons from the man's son. Now, it's easy to think that we're not going the right way in deliverance because the results are not immediate, like the Lord always has. See, the results were always immediate for him. And the devils, sometimes they can get us to thinking that we're not going the right way in deliverance because the results are not as immediate as it always was for Jesus, see. And brethren, especially in deliverance, we need wisdom. And in all our getting, get understanding. With all of our getting of wisdom from the Word of God, and He gives whenever we ask, if we will go to His Word, and if we ask Him for wisdom, He will give it if we'll just receive it by faith. And with all of this getting of wisdom from Him, we need to get understanding, see. This is what's going on in the heart. This is the communication between our spirit and His spirit, this understanding from the heart. And it always comes back to the Word of God, brethren. It always comes back to the Word of God and learning submission to the Word of God. Our lack of understanding may be that we did not even diligently seek the Lord in prayer. And often also, it may be that we've failed to turn at His reproof. And this is common, brethren. All of you know that, I'm sure, that somewhere we may have failed to turn at His reproof. See, and that blocks the understanding. Proverbs 1:23, so important. Everybody ought to have Proverbs 1:23 and James 1:5 memorized. People are just way too quick to determine something is not of God because it is time-consuming and it's taking so much longer than what we may have thought. And when we get God's wisdom and understanding from the Word of God, quickened by His Holy Spirit, we're going to bust through the walls of demonic hindrance and confusion and discouragement. But this is what we need. We need to get this understanding so that we can bust through these walls of demonic hindrance. If Jesus said the first sign that follows those who believe is that in His name we are to cast out devils, that settles it. If Jesus said that He has given us power over all the power of the enemy, then that settles it, regardless how long it may take. So why does deliverance take so long? Psalm 31, verse 2, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. It is common to see people that have received great deliverance in demons being cast out and see great wonders and even terrific changes in their life. That is not unusual. And the instant deliverance is what we all want to see happen every time. Now, that's what we want. We want to see this instant deliverance. This is what we all want to see happen all the time. And yet, it's not always like that, brethren. Sometimes total deliverance, getting those innermost, stronger demons out, can take years. Why does it seem like deliverance is so long for some people? Some people who seek deliverance may go through deliverance prayers and services several times with nothing even seeming to happen. Brethren, remember. Just remember this. Remember, demons are liars and deceivers. It may seem like nothing's happening, but you got to remember, demons are liars and deceivers. The lack of apparent manifestations may be part of the deception. Later, as people continue and are steadfast in going through the deliverance prayers and continuing to stand in faith in the promises of the Word of God, later manifestations, getting those strong principalities out, they will come in due time. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. God said so, see? God said so. They're going to come out. God said so in Luke 10:19. Hallelujah. He has given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. So one of the keys in deliverance is don't give up. We're not going to give up. We're not going to back down. We're not going to slow down. We're not going to ease off when it comes to the demons. And the key is knowing that disciples are disciplined ones and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that does not always mean instantly, okay? The big key is understanding that God has a plan. That's the real big key. is just understanding that God has a plan and a purpose that is much bigger than any instant deliverance of some spirit. I'm going to say it again because it's so important that you understand this. And this is the big key. It's just understanding that God always has a plan. And God always has a purpose that very often may be bigger than any instant deliverance of any spirit. See, the Lord wants us to grow that we might mature in being conformed to the image of Christ. And there are many areas regarding sanctification, brethren, that only deliverance can bring this kind of growth and maturity. Yeah. Certain areas regarding sanctification, only deliverance can bring this growth and maturity that we all want to have. So it's important that we never lose sight of the purpose for which the Son of God was manifested. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Now the king's away on a far journey. And we, the redeemed, repentant disciples, are the legitimate occupying authorities on this planet. This Antichrist, demoniac, minions, all of them are usurpers. Yes, the entire Antichrist demonic host are usurpers. Make no mistake about it. Our purpose is still to carry on that same purpose for which the Son of God was manifested. It is the will of God. We know it is the will of God that every believer learn spiritual warfare against his enemy and our enemy. Yeah, God's enemy is our enemy. That's godly. And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we are commanded to wrestle with the enemies of God and have been given power and authority over all of their power. King David, we need to spend a lot of time, as much time as we can, in the Psalms in these last days, because we need to learn about this heart of David that God said, "Behold, I find in David, son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart who will do all my will." King David, that man after God's own heart, had the right attitude. Psalm 139:21, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee." Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? We got a state of war with the devil. We've got a state of war with these antichrist demoniacs. Now, we're not coming against their flesh and blood, no. But the demons in them, we hate them. Oh, yeah. And it's godly to hate God's enemies. Yes, it is godly to hate God's enemies, not the people, but the demons empowering them, at least until they take the mark in their right hand or forehead. Then we're going to hate their whole being. See, then they become eternal enemies when they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That is the unpardonable sin. But do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? Is it a lack of power or ignorance which causes deliverance to take so long? What do you think? Is it a lack of power or ignorance which causes deliverance to take so long sometimes? Well, brethren, often it's both. Now, there's no lack of power regarding the power that God has given us over all the power of the enemy. There's no lack of power regarding the power that God has given us over all the power of the enemy. However, failure to be submitted to God can cause the power that we've been given to seem to be lacking. Ignorance, yes, that's always a factor. And more will be learned, brethren, in actual deliverance sessions than in all the books. I'm going to say that again. More will be learned in actual deliverance sessions than in all the books. However, the Holy Bible, and particularly the Old Testament, is where we find the answers to the tough problems confronting those seeking and doing deliverance ministry. It is amazing how the casting out of devils has been superseded in the so-called vain, powerless religions of these last days. We even see such vain imaginations as psychology exalting itself against the knowledge of God. What an abomination. Christian psychologist. Why not say Christian idolater? It is a sad sign of the times when they will not endure sound doctrine that so many churches know nothing about casting out demons. faith without works is dead. James said, you can talk about your faith, and he would show you his faith by what he did. Is any sick among us? How is God being glorified when people suffer from spirits of infirmity? Most people would be shocked to know how much physical illness is a result of spirits of infirmity. One good faithful brother, a medical doctor, says it may be as high as 90%. Yeah, a medical doctor saying it may be 90% of all physical affliction result from spirits of infirmity. Yes, a medical doctor. And believers should at least know it's over half. You don't have to be a doctor. You shouldn't need to be a doctor to figure that one out. If one in our church, one in our fellowship is sick, it's time to find out who God says is an elder. Would you believe that who God says is an elder is often different than who the majority in the church vote for on the deacon board? You guys that think you should be elders, that have read the Word of God, the way God said to read it, every word in order from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Line up here. Anoint these sick people with oil. Let's find out who is biblically qualified as an elder, and not just who won the last church popularity contest. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is time that we stop talking about how much faith we have and start doing what real faith will do, to glorify God in the name of Yeshua, and not in the name of some minister of vanity. One of the main reasons why deliverance often requires diligence and persistence is found in Judges chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. The least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. I can just hear the knee-jerking of those in the vain, powerless religions of rationalizing, saying, we're not under law, we're under grace. Brethren, God does not and has not changed. Yeshua did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Heaven and earth have not yet passed away. People who quote that piece out of verse 14 in Romans 6 should check the context of where that comes from and quote all of Romans 6, 12 through 16. Maybe that would stop some of this foolishness. The Lord left those nations in the land to teach Israel how to fight. The ministry of every saint, and every saint is part of Israel, is war with the Antichrist for the final 42 months before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is truly sad how few churches today know anything about casting out evil spirits. They will call them character flaws or besetting sins, but they do not call them what they are, evil spirits, because of this denial of the truth. All that is left is a vain, powerless form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Whole large churches today do not have anyone who knows how to discern or to deal with or to cast out the devils. And we should learn by our mistakes, brethren. The only people that don't make any mistakes are people that don't do anything. But we should learn by our mistakes and stop repeating them. We should learn something whenever we confront a devil that we are unable to cast out. It's a learning experience. And maybe it's a learning experience that God wants us to have. You know, if God wants the devil out, it's going out. Maybe God wants us to learn something. And not knowing what to do should make us seek the Lord as never before. Confronting a devil that resists being cast out should lead to intense study of the Word of God. The answers are in the King James Version Holy Bible. Some of those answers, which may be easily found in the King James Version Holy Bible, are completely removed, brethren, from many of the modern perversion profane Bibles. Intense study of the real Holy Bible will produce answers and teach you how to war against the enemy. The only Bible the devil really fears, brethren, is the King James Version Holy Bible. The devil doesn't fear any other Bible. And we should understand that the Lord allows things in our lives to motivate us to learn the weapons of our warfare, to learn the Word of God, and to learn effectual, fervent prayer. The Lord wants to do more than just free us from demons. Freely we have received, freely give. He wants us to learn deliverance and spiritual warfare to destroy the works of the devil, not only in us, but in others as well. We should understand that there is less learning in a quick deliverance. We do not learn nearly as much from the demons that are easily cast out. It's the hard cases that drive us to the Word of God and prayer and fasting. The tough deliverances is where we really find the learning. Yeah, the tough deliverances is where the learning of spiritual warfare takes place. The tough demons teach us to develop spiritual warfare skills, tactics, and understanding of the Word of God in fervent prayer. Fervent prayer does not have to be long prayer. And again, the key is submission to God. There's nothing quite like fasting to bring the body under subjection. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The generation that God brought out of Egypt all died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. None of the others entering the promised land knew anything about warfare. And people like the Midianites, they were good at warfare. But this generation of Israelites was untried. They knew nothing about how to fight. It was in God's great and perfect wisdom that He did not drive out all of their enemies. He wanted to teach the children of Israel to war. Every saint in the final 42 months before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will have a ministry of war with the Antichrist and his demon-possessed minions. Although the Israelites failed the test, God does not want us to fail. And we should understand that the Lord is a man of war. And mighty in battle is He. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Isaiah 42:13, I think. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. For He said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war, David said, and my fingers to fight. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brethren, many know they should have learned these things years ago. And often, people do not accomplish much because they do not keep the main thing first. First, brethren, before you try pressing into spiritual warfare very far, first, we must have one disciplined reading of the Word of God the way He told us. Otherwise, we're going to get nowhere. Regarding learning spiritual warfare, we effectively limit the Holy Ghost to bring to the battle from our remembrance. John 14:26. You can't have this promise. This promise is not part of you if you haven't read the Word of God the way God said to read the Word. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. How do you bring something to remembrance if it hadn't been put in there to remember in the first place? God expects us to do our part. He'll fill in the gaps, but He expects us to do our part. He, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. I'm not. The Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. How can anyone presume to be approved unto God as a workman who can rightly divide the word of truth without having read it the way God tells us? There's a context to things. The Bible is full of paradoxes. And, brethren, things taken out of context become pretexts. Paradoxes are both true. Paradoxes are things that seem to be contradictory, but in fact both are true. And the Bible's full of paradoxes. The Bible has a context. And you see, also paradoxes. And this is why we've got to have a context, brethren. Because if you take things out of context, it just don't work. Now, you can take things out of context, and we see this done all the time, to form false doctrines, to wrest the Scripture. And they're wresting the Scripture to their own destruction because they lift it from context. That's the main way that Scripture is wrested, lifting from context. And things taken out of context are pretext for anything. Nothing, brethren. Nothing compares to the King James Version Holy Bible to learn spiritual warfare and deliverance. Nothing. The King James Version Holy Bible is beyond comparison to any spiritual warfare manual. Brethren, it's sad, but the Scripture in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 is a word that probably over 90% of the preachers need to take to heart. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that applies to all of us, but sadly, brethren, it especially applies to probably well over 90% of people entering pulpits today. The use of spiritual senses and physical senses to discern both good and evil, both good and evil, is what we need in this Antichrist war on the saints. The use of our senses is spiritual exercise which develops discernment to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we're in deliverance, we should really be hanging loose with the Holy Spirit. We're following His lead, whatever He brings. And it comes from this treasure of the Word of God, which we have stored up in our heart. Regarding what is of God, we know what is of God because we've stored it up in our heart. And the use of our senses is spiritual exercise which develops discernment to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit regarding what is of God and what is not. Babes lack discernment. Babes think every feel-good spiritual feeling and every feel-good spiritual experience is of God. Babes do not know how to test the spirits to see if they are of God. Even babes should know better. If you have not read the King James Version Holy Bible, every word in order, cover to cover, someone should love you enough to tell you that you're in trouble. Someone should tell you how likely it is in these last days of strong delusion that you may be deceived regarding your spiritual experiences. When you really get into deliverance ministry, get ready to be humbled. So many young ministers get shaken to the core of their being when it finally dawns upon them what a show and a circus the demons have been playing for them. The demons are very good at putting on shows to keep them puffed up, vain, and powerless. Many young ministers really believe they are full of power, and that the demons have to jump because of their great anointing and their great faith. And how sad this really is. The demons will put on quite a show for such ministers who will bring forth wind and not genuine deliverance that glorifies God, but only strokes their vanity. The demons are impressed with the name of Jesus and the power of the blood of Yeshua. That's what the demons are impressed with the name of Jesus and the power of the blood of Yeshua. The demons are impressed with the one who anoints and baptizes with the Holy Ghost. In fact, Jesus warned all of us to beware of those who would dare to come to us in his name and say, "I am anointed." Watch out if you hear somebody saying, "I am anointed." That is the same as saying, "I am Christ." That's what Christ means, anointed. When they come saying, "I am anointed," they're saying just what Jesus warned us about. I am Christ. Religious pride, brethren, must be broken and purged, because no human wants to give it up. Religious pride must be broken and purged. That's why Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Religious pride must be broken and purged because no human wants to give it up. God often uses the demons and how they resist being cast out to break our religious pride. Knowing that we have demons, or that we're dealing with demons that refuse to come out, is most humbling. It also is exercising our senses, however. And exercising our senses would not be accomplished if the deliverance were always a simple one-shot command or prayer. The Lord is perfecting us and causing our faith to grow from faith to faith. Deliverance is just one of a number of vital steps in the process of sanctification. And we do learn patience and perseverance and diligence and dependence upon the Lord. That's the main thing, dependence upon the Lord in difficult deliverance experiences. And there's nothing that I've experienced that is so effective in causing me to want to find the problem in my own heart, brethren, like a stubborn demon which resists being cast out. The problem either must be with the legal ground not being identified, and I should be getting a word of knowledge from the Holy Ghost. The problem, brethren, it must either be with the legal ground not being identified, or with me, because the problem is certainly not with the power of the name of Jesus. No, brethren, the problem is certainly not with the power of the name of Jesus or the power of the blood of Yeshua. So I've got to look at me. The problem has got to be me if I'm the deliverance minister. The Lord left the nations in the promised land to teach Israel to war with the enemy. God's enemies are our enemies. They were left in the land to prove Israel, to test Israel, to find out whether or not we would pay attention to do the commandments of the Lord by Moses. And many times the Lord will temporarily leave spirits in one's life to prove whether or not we really love the Lord above all else. He deserves first place. And there's nothing like knowing a spirit is there which is resisting being cast out to cause one to diligently seek the Lord. Glory to God. Do not ever give ground to the flip way of saying, "The devil made us do it." The demons must always be bound. I'm going to say it again. It's always right to bind the demons. The demons must always be bound, regardless of the status of one's deliverance. "I cannot," brethren, means "I will not." "I can't" means "I won't," because it denies the truth of Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We must first find the problem of how we are not in submission to God. That's what we got to do. We got to find first what the problem is regarding how we are not in submission to God. Then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. The stubborn demons reveal to us that we are somehow out of submission to God. The deliverance minister needs to have the word of knowledge if it's a problem dealing with the ground given by someone seeking deliverance. And since the Lord knows our heart, and without his word separating our soul and spirit so that we can see the truth in our heart, we do not know even what's in our own heart. And therefore we should see even in this as being for our benefit, see. The Lord knows the depth of our love and commitment to Him, but often we do not really know. And some who come seeking deliverance will probably never see again if they are not delivered quickly at the first deliverance prayer. And that's sad, but it happens. And others, though they know they're still being troubled by evil spirits, continue in faith, being faithful, to return, to continue pressing into the Word of God. And over time, one comes to know people of faith because they are faithful. That's how you know people of faith. They are faithful and genuine. Pride and rebellion and religious spirits are the chief hindrance to being set free. The stronghold formed by the religious and rebellious spirit is very strong, brethren. That is a deadly combination. A real stronghold is formed when the religious spirit combines with the rebellious spirit. And that's a very strong and difficult one to bring down. And often, through deliverance, God brings the hidden rebellion and disobedience and religious spirits to the surface. It's common for rebellion and disobedience to be buried so deep that many are completely unaware that the religious spirit or rebellious spirit is in them. And when these hidden things are brought to the surface in the process of deliverance, then finally the truth may be received, acknowledged, and His grace be found to repent. Until the believer receives the truth and can acknowledge the truth, and repentance is found, those spirits will remain in a believer. We should always hate the devil and his evil spirits. We should not yield because of pride to make any agreement with the devils that we will leave them alone if they leave us alone. Binding and loosing is always to be done, regardless of where we may be in the process of deliverance. I want to say this again, because you don't want to miss this. Binding and loosing is always to be done. It's always right to bind and loose. And we bind and loose regardless where we may be in the process of deliverance. And we never come to terms with the enemy. No. We always continue binding and loosing and coming against the spirits until we are delivered, no matter how long it takes. If we do not repent and persist in rebellion and disobedience, it really is not likely that the Lord will drive the spirits out until we repent. Very often, our refusal to humble ourselves is a block to the deliverance. It may be part of the Lord's chastening process that we remain stuck with the devils because of our refusal to repent. Another thing it'd be real wise for all of us to do is to go through from time to time that full list of the spirits to be named and called out in a deliverance service. And look at that list frequently. And any of them that we've had a history of having difficulty with in our life, and some of the common ones, you know, like pride and envy, you can't cast them out. So there are spirits that relate to those two. And so look at the ones that you've had difficulty with in the past, and of course anything that's even remotely related to pride or envy, and have a list of those. And as part of your morning warfare prayer, bind those spirits. Bind those spirits specifically, that they're not going to be allowed freedom to operate in or around you in any given day. And then ask the Lord to loose His mighty ones, His ministering spirits, to enforce those bindings. This is just a very wise part of daily prayer in this Antichrist war on the saints. One thing that is common within deliverance ministry, which should be expected, is the demons in those seeking deliverance will make accusations. I mean, some of the things that will come out from the demons when you are trying to help somebody be delivered will shock your socks off. I mean, it's not just the horrible vulgarity that may come forth, but some real deep heart shot truths may come forth. And brethren, whatever, you have to know that meekness is a must in deliverance ministry. We must not retaliate, no matter what may come forth from that person that we're trying to help be set free. we must not retaliate. No matter what comes out of their mouth, we do not retaliate. We must be prepared to endure any insult without retaliation. Avoid, brethren, at all costs, avoid calling out each other's demons. Now, when you're trying to help somebody in deliverance, expect to hear things like, I bind you, Jezebel, coming from them to you as you try and help them get rid of their demons. Brethren, you just got to be ready for it. You just got to expect it. Know that these things are going to come forth from the people that come to you and you're trying to help with deliverance. Expect it. The demons in them will come out with stuff like, I bind you, Jezebel, I bind you, Leviathan, I bind you, rebellion, I rebuke your envy. It's going to come. Expect it, brethren. It's going to come from these demons in these people that are seeking deliverance. And what do? Well, you just say thank you. You just say thank you. Amen, it's bound. Oh, yeah, thank you. Amen, it's bound. And do not retaliate. Just say thank you. Amen, it's bound. And do not retaliate. See, brethren, it's a given that you will be accused of pride when you begin to walk in deliverance. That's a given. Understand this. Don't ever forget. We're all being creatures, okay? So it's a given that you're going to be accused of pride when you begin to walk in deliverance. And the scorpion that all must keep under our feet with our gospel shoes is envy. And the snake that we all must keep under our feet is pride. Now, something which gave me peace a long time ago is something regarding pride. See, we're all vain creatures. God said so in Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity. Are you a creature? If you're a creature, you're subject to vanity. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. God didn't really want to do it that way. I mean, because there's nothing really becoming about vanity. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God deserves worship that's worth something. Worship that's worth anything must come from a vain creature who makes the free will choice to worship the one who alone is worthy. The truth is that we are all vain creatures, and pride is the snake to be kept under our feet, shod with the gospel of peace. Know, brethren, just expect it, and know that it is impossible. Understand this, brethren. It is impossible to make the charge of pride without having the affliction. That helped me. Maybe it'll help you. Know that it is impossible to make the charge of pride without having the affliction. Glory to God. Meekness is the ability to endure insult without retaliation. When we are ministering deliverance and the charges and bindings and rebukes come from the person seeking deliverance, just say thank you. It is bound. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Do not be tempted to resent any charge that comes from them. And this also is why we want to be careful to sever communication lines between the demons. The deliverance minister always will make right actions directed by the Holy Spirit. It's very important. We do not react. We always make right actions, and we do not react. Do not react when the demons in the person we're trying to help through deliverance calls out some spirit or makes some accusation or presumes to bind something in us or whatever. Just don't react. Make sure you get quiet then. That's the time to get quiet and listen for the lead of the Holy Spirit. And when in doubt, just say thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's bound. Especially if they say, I bind you this or I bind you that. Oh, yes, thank you. It's bound. Praise the Lord Jesus. Always praise Jesus. Be quick to praise the Lord Jesus. Be quick to talk about the blood of Yeshua. But don't react. Whatever you do, endure any insult and make sure you don't retaliate. Glory to God. Stay humble and seek the Lord's mercy, grace, and leading in that instant. Hallelujah. He'll be there. Hallelujah. Brethren, it's amazing, but especially in these last days, few, very few, seem to realize how that affliction can be good for us. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. And David makes it real clear in Psalm 119, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good. Thou doest good. God is a good God. This is why we study the cross. Studying the cross is so essential, brethren. Thou art good. Thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And he really nails it in verse 71. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Affliction can often drive us to the word, to seek understanding and repentance, which is good for us. God is a good God. We've got to keep studying the cross, brethren. See, demons are eternal enemies of God and every child of God. It is godly to hate them with a perfect hatred. They hate us and seek to destroy us, and we should be quick and constant in our binding and loosing and rebuking of demons to let them know we know the state of war that exists. We also want to let them know we know that we have the victory, hallelujah, and we will exercise the power and authority that we have been given over all their power. We need to let them know that. The key for us is genuine humility before the Lord, not this false humility that a lot of people show before the church folk. The real key is this genuine humility before the Lord and submission to Him, and knowing God is pleased when we hate and attack His enemies of the host of hell. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're coming against those demons. And again, we see why David was a man after God's own heart in this regard. Psalm 139, 21 to 24, profound. David says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The truth is that most of us do not hate evil as intensely as we should. When we walk in deliverance and fall, no, the demons will really try to heap on condemnation. The righteous man falleth seven times. The deliverance worker must learn quick and even instant repentance. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we put it under the blood, there is no record in heaven. I'm going to say it again. When we put it under the blood in genuine repentance, there is no record in heaven. God throws it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it in his sea of forgetfulness, and therefore we know there is no record in heaven. We will therefore not allow occasion for the demonic thought regarding a past sin or even some brother trying to help us with some recollection of a past sin that has been confessed and put under the blood. Such thoughts, since there's no record in heaven, such thoughts regarding past sins forgiven and under the blood cannot, brethren, it cannot, those kind of thoughts cannot be from the Holy Ghost. The demons are constantly going to want to drag us back into the past, and brethren, we couldn't change the past if we wanted to. We've got to do that one thing Paul said he did. This one thing I do. Not as though I had attained or had already arrived at some state of entire sanctification. No, not as though I had attained. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. When the demon tries to bring up that past, we must be quick to tell that demon about the guaranteed future of all demons in the lake of fire and our future in the kingdom of God. Tell the demon about his future when he wants to bring up the past. And remember the iron chariots, brethren. You remember the iron chariots? Remember the iron chariots when we wonder why a deliverance may be taking so long. The iron chariots are like the strongholds and demonic principalities that are stronger in resisting and being cast out. And we will always continue binding and loosing. This cannot be overstated. I know I've said it 10 times tonight, and I'm going to keep saying it. We will always continue binding and loosing, binding the demon spirits and asking the Lord of hosts to loose his mighty ministering spirits to enforce the bindings. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Glory to God. And remember the iron chariots. We will not fear the iron chariots. And the Lord, Judges chapter 1:19, the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Same thing over in Joshua 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, and this especially relates to most of us, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. What authority and power the Lord has given us! Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine for its wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. The principalities may be strong, but through the power of the blood of Yeshua, and in due time, and by learning more fullness of submission to God, we shall resist and drive out those iron chariot demons. Glory to God. Remember the iron chariots. Those principalities may be strong, but through the power of the blood of Yeshua, and in due time, by learning more fullness of submission to God, we shall resist and drive out those iron chariot demons. We will make no covenant with the enemy. We will attack, attack, attack. We will keep seeking the word of knowledge from the Lord to deal with any and all legal ground on these demons, how they might have some license, and we're going to yank that license when we find it, through repentance. We will walk in repentance, binding and loosing, and rebuking the devils, and giving them no rest. We will hate them with a strong and perfect hatred, no matter how long. We will continue to press the battle to the gates. God even told the Israelites that he would drive out their enemies by little and by little. And that's what we will do to the demons. We will persist and drive them out little by little. We will be content even with a lifelong battle, because we know of the certain victory of eternal life in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, know that the demons are persistent. We should know. Brethren, we should know that the demons are persistent. Demons are persistent. However, the Lord is on our side, and he has already gotten us the certain victory. We have every reason to be more persistent and more steadfast. Our Lord said, "It is finished." We may look with great joy toward our long-term future. The demons tremble at their future, brethren. Be quick to tell the demons constantly that by the power of the blood of Yeshua, we are going to heaven, and every devil is going to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished at the cross." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.